What proportion of our healthcare costs does each sector of our healthcare system consume, and what are their growth rates? The answer to the question is germane to governments facing serious health budgetary constraints. There is an argument put forward that hospitals and prescription medication costs are the principal contributors to a system that is unsustainable. This week, a Fraser Institute report, The Misguided War Against Medicines, looked at the evidence for the veracity of this argument. Brett Skinner is Director of Health, Pharmaceutical and Insurance Policy Research at the Fraser Institute and author of The Misguided War Against Medicines. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What were some of the reasons for you to choose this area of investigation?
Well, as you know, Barry, the Institute for the last 3 years has been publishing an analysis of the sustainability of healthcare spending in Canada. And what we've shown is that government health expenditures are growing much faster than our ability to pay for them. 6 out of 10 provinces are on pace to have 50% of their total revenues consumed by healthcare in only a few short years. And that analysis has been criticized by groups like the Canadian Union of Public Employees and the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives on a few areas, all of which have been demonstrably proven to be false. And in fact, one of the criticisms they make is, yes, they agree that based on recent trends, public health spending is unsustainable, but they blame that on spending that governments have engaged in for pharmaceuticals. So they say that because governments spend so much on drugs, that's why Medicare is unsustainable. So that's an empirical question.
Mm-hmm.
This study sought to answer that, simply to say, is it true that drug spending is driving the unsustainable rate of growth in public health expenditures?
Now, what were you using as your data source?
All of the data sources are public, and that was key to the study because I want to make it possible for the general public to replicate the results if they like, because really this is an argument over facts. And so all of the data comes from the Canadian Institute for Health Information, from the Patented Medicines Price Review Board, organizations of the federal government, agencies of the federal government. So we looked also at Statistics Canada data that would apply to the provinces. And so what we found was essentially that government spending, and we have to make a distinction between public and private spending on pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the two together, drugs make up about 17.4% of total health spending. That is public spending as well as private sector spending on health. But we're not really talking about private sector spending when we're talking about the sustainability of Medicare. Medicare is publicly funded.
Mm-hmm.
So we only really want to look at what governments spend publicly on healthcare. And when we look at that, we find that prescription medications make up only about 9.6% of total government health expenditure. And if we look in particular at patented medicines, which are new drugs, new inventions of drugs, which are generally perceived to be more expensive and therefore take much of the blame on drug costs, patented medicines make up even less a percentage of government health expenditure. In fact, only about 6.8% of government health expenditure. Therefore, both patented drugs and prescription drugs in general are too small a percentage of government health expenditure to be contributing in a major way to the unsustainable growth rates that we see. And in fact, we would lay most of the blame on the other components of health spending, like hospitals, professionals, and what we would just categorize as other non-pharmaceutical health spending, which make up about 90.4% of health spending. So really, to target drugs in particular is a big mistake.
So in terms of proportion, this is important, in terms of proportion, how much, for example, goes to hospitals, to professionals, to other aspects of the healthcare system so that people have an understanding of where these numbers are actually coming from?
Sure. Non-pharmaceutical spending in healthcare makes up about 90.4% of the total that governments spend. And so for critics to say that Medicare is financially unsustainable because of what governments spend on drugs, they're just simply mistaken. Drugs make up too small a percentage of the overall percentage. The other claim that is often made is that the prices of drugs continually rise year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And so the study looked at the prices for patented drugs, these most expensive kinds or new drugs. And really, we looked at data from the federal government itself, which shows, for instance, that the price of patented drugs once they reach the market actually grows at a slower pace than the general rate of inflation or a consumer price index. And in fact, it has declined in absolute terms in 6 of the last 18 years. And in 16 of the last 18 years, it has grown slower than the rate of inflation. So you know, really the price of patented drugs is not a problem. The total amount of money spent as a percentage of government spending is not a problem. And so that leads to the next criticism that comes about, which is that when drugs are introduced to the market for the first time, their introductory price is excessive. In fact, the federal government also looks at this and says, for instance, that the prices of drugs in Canada, patented brand name drugs in Canada, is actually at the international median or below, and in fact, much further below American prices. And Fraser Institute research has shown in the past that Canadian prices for brand name drugs, for instance, are 43% below U.S. prices for identical drugs on average. And so it's neither the existing price of drugs already on the market nor the introductory price of new drugs that is causing unsustainable health expenditure growth in Canada.
Now, some of the concern expressed by people with regards to availability of medications, and this focusing on, for example, the cost of newer biologics or disease-modifying agents, you know, medications used to treat various cancers that were considered to be difficult to treat, inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's disease, arthritic-type diseases like rheumatoid arthritis. How do these, in a global perspective, when these medications are released and you hear that they're $5,000 a dose and they're given once a month for some things, how does that impact overall on expenditures and with regards to governments formulating policy on whether they should be covered or not?
Yeah, that's an interesting example. There are these high-profile examples of drugs that have enormous price tags for the treatment course of treatment. You know, $50,000 for the course of treatment, for example, on a drug like, say, Herceptin or Velcade, for example. These are usually drugs that treat illnesses like cancer, very serious illnesses. But they also treat very small patient populations. And so if you multiply the expenditure per patient times the small number of patients being treated, the actual impact on the health budget is very small. In fact, if you took three of the most expensive drugs in Canada, which I look at in the study, and said, what is the cost of these three drugs as a percentage of, if we were to add those drugs to government health spending, for instance, what would be the additional cost as a percentage of existing expenditures? And it would add only 0.3%. So one-third of a percent extra to the overall government health budget to fund these very important and effective drugs. And so really, the argument that, you know, these new drugs for these targeted populations are very expensive and that's driving the unsustainable growth in health expenditures, that's just proven to be false because the actual budget impact is small due to the small number of patients being treated.
Now, in terms of rate of growth, in the report, you also looked at what would happen if you completely removed any coverage for prescription medications. That is, in terms of sustainability, what happens to the rest of the healthcare sector with regards to increases? And is there another way of looking at this and saying, well, if we remove the medications out of the picture just to see what happens, X happens. What is it that actually did you find?
Sure. I mean, you can ask the question, if it really is true that drug spending is what's driving Medicare to become financially unsustainable, then you can just say, well, let's take drugs out. We'll subtract drugs from the picture, and we'll see how fast the other components, the non-pharmaceutical components of healthcare are growing, and see if they're growing at unsustainable rates. And what we find is that the non-pharmaceutical components of health spending, that is hospitals, professionals, you know, other categories of health spending like public health, research, administration, all of those things make up over 90% of what governments spend on healthcare, and all of those things are growing at unsustainable rates, you know, twice as fast as the rate of inflation, 1.5 times or more faster than the growth in our revenue base and in our economy. So really, even if we spent zero on drugs, we would find that all other health spending is still growing at an unsustainable pace. And so it's just not simply feasible to make the argument that pharmaceuticals are to blame for the unsustainable growth in public health expenditures.
What have been some of the policy choices on the basis of the information that governments have and what you've presented? What are some of the policy choices made by the provinces in Canada with respect to coverage? Because it seems that there are different coverages and levels of coverage as you go from province to province.
Sure. I mean, I think what is happening is that governments are focused on what we spend our healthcare money on, as opposed to how we spend our healthcare money, which is the key thing that is really making Medicare unsustainable. Let's look at we could just simply not spend anything on drugs. We could spend nothing on hospitals. We could spend nothing on doctors. We would have, therefore, a very low-cost healthcare system, but we would not have a modern medical system either. So it's not what we're spending our money on. It's how we're spending that money and how the financial incentives in the system, the Medicare system, are structured. The problem is that we have no price at the point of service, so that patients themselves, they face no incentive to be responsible about what they demand from healthcare. They face no incentive to substitute more efficient kinds of healthcare, for instance, a pharmaceutical for inpatient care, those kinds of things. Those incentives are absent from the Medicare system, and that is really why it is in this situation of facing financial difficulties and unsustainable growth and expenditure.
What have other countries done then to face this issue? There must be some examples of what other people do in the world that face these similar problems.
Well, yeah, they don't do what Canada does. Canada in the past has blamed what I call the three evil empires of Medicare spending. First, they blamed doctors, so they capped the number of doctors thinking that would save money, and they created a doctor shortage. Then they blamed hospitals, and they cut back on the number of hospital beds and created long waiting times. And now they're blaming drugs. So drugs are just the latest in a series of scapegoats for Medicare's failures. But other countries don't do that. They don't blame what we spend our healthcare dollars on. In fact, they have changed their system. So they have introduced things like user fees for patients using ER services, using general hospital services or physician services, as well as their expenditures on drugs. They have introduced parallel private health insurance options, which have better financial incentives for the efficient allocation of healthcare resources, and have taken some of the financial pressures off of the public system. They've introduced competition, both private for-profit and non-profit, to compete with the public sector for the delivery of publicly funded healthcare. And they have incorporated drugs, in fact, into their general insurance umbrella. In Canada, of course, drugs are not covered. Outpatient drugs are not covered through Medicare. They're only covered through special programs paid for by governments for special populations. Everyone else either pays out of pocket or has private insurance. So the structure of the system in Canada is not the same as it is in other countries. It leads to many distortions in the decisions made by patients and providers, and that's causing, I think, unsustainable cost growth in Canada.
Now, is there evidence as well that shows that despite initial greater expenditures for a medication, for example, to treat an illness, that in the long run it reduces costs in the healthcare system? And specific examples that I've experienced and my colleagues have experienced are when there is a medication that's released. In this case, there was one for diabetes that works very, very well at helping control diabetes. It was a new class of medication, and it really helped in reducing sugar levels and preventing kidney diseases, arterial disease, heart disease over the long run. Obviously, if you prevent a heart attack, you prevent someone on dialysis, you prevent the sores that can happen on feet, the loss of limbs, you're going to dramatically improve a person's quality of life, but also the cost of treating someone with those conditions would be astronomical given the preponderance of this disease. So my question is, if we know that this is true based on evidence, then why do governments not look at this as an opportunity to reduce their costs in the long run?
Yeah, I mean, it's true what you're saying. There's a really strong evidence base that indicates, for instance, that a dollar spent on pharmaceuticals can reduce non-pharmaceutical health spending by anywhere between $3 and $7. So while the price of some pharmaceuticals might seem initially high, pharmaceuticals are a good technological substitute for less efficient kinds of health care. In fact, our study looked at the substitution effect of medicines, and what we said was, okay, let's see what happens. As pharmaceuticals have grown in terms of a percentage of government health spending over time, what has happened to things like hospital admissions? Because the evidence shows that pharmaceuticals would substitute for inpatient treatment in hospital. What we see and what we observe is that pharmaceutical spending, as it increases as a percentage of government health budgets over time, hospital admissions are declining over time. So that is consistent with the base of research that we reviewed in the paper, which indicates that the use of medications can substitute for less efficient forms of care, and while the initial price might be high, the overall savings in the long run are much greater. And so why don't governments do this? Again, it's the structure of Medicare. There is just simply no financial incentives to make investments in things that lead to long-term cost savings. The system is designed to think on a year-over-year basis about short-term expenses, and when a new drug, even a very effective drug, is introduced, governments are reluctant to pay for it. Quite frankly, sick people represent very few votes. Mm-hmm. Only a small percentage of the population is really being treated by these kinds of drugs, and they just simply don't have enough votes to make politicians stand up and listen to what they need, and politicians therefore have no incentive to pay attention to the economics of it either.
Well, Mr. Skinner, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss this report with us, and I hope this gives people something to think about.
Thanks, Barry.
All the best.